Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks so much for listening to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. My name is Lane Lohman. I'm the director of the program and the son of the founder of the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, and I hope you enjoy the program today. I'm going to complete the sermon, or at least most of it, Behold the Man, a sermon preached by my father in a camp meeting setting in the state of Ohio many, many years ago. One of the greatest sermons I think I've ever heard my dad preach in a camp meeting setting. And I hope you enjoy it. And if you would like your own personal copy, you can write me a letter and request it. And if you'll do that and enclose a gift, I'll send you also my hymn album, which includes 16 hymns right out of the hymn book. As we celebrate our anniversary month, 87 years of continuous broadcasting of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. You can write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Again, the address, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Well, we're finishing up the month, and it's somewhat of an unusual month in that this is the last full weekend of the month of August. And on the 28th of this month, I'll be going to the Evangelist Gathering and Camp Meeting in Vicksburg, Michigan. I'll be preaching the opening night service there. It'll run from August the 28th to September the 1st. And then on September the 7th, I'll be in Brownstown, Indiana, at the Southwest Indiana District Men's Retreat. And then September the 8th through the 10th, I'll be at the Church of the Nazarene at Peter Switch Church of the Nazarene in Seymour, Indiana. I do cover your prayers as I travel to these places, sharing the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. Thank you for the privilege of sharing this message that my dad preached. What a powerful message. We don't hear preaching quite like this anymore, and I hope it's a blessing to the people. It's unusual, the style of preaching that my dad had, but it is truly an inspiration, and I pray you'd bless it to the listener's heart. I ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Again, don't forget to write to us. We need to hear from you so that we can stay on your radio station. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915. Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and you can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tabs there. Thanks so much for considering that.
Is now gone above. revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Revive us again.
But a few days passed, and he said, let's go to Bethany. And they said, Master, did not of late the Jews sought to stone thee, and thou goest again? He said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walketh in the light, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if he walk in darkness, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. And on the way up to Bethany, two broken-hearted sisters had buried their brother a few days before. One of them said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And he said, your brother shall live again. She said, I know he'll live again in the resurrection of the last day. But it was at the Bethany home that day that he reached across the boundary line of worlds and pushed back the clouds and the curtains, and beloved, lifted that Old Testament question out of the book of Job, if a man dies, shall he live again? And Jesus stood there at Bethany that day, and he answered that question when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he said, where is the tomb? And she said, by this time he speaketh. And beloved, they wept, and he wept with them. He said, roll that stone out of the way. And they rolled that stone back, and he looked in. There was Lazarus dead, wrapped in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot, wrapped in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he can not only create life and sustain life and empower life and provide for life and protect life and illuminate life, but he can recreate life. One of these days, this preacher that's preaching to you this afternoon, I may go by the way of a cemetery, but if I do, the first noise I hear, I'm a coming out. Because that'll be the day the trumpet sounds. That'll be the day the bugle blows. That'll be the day when the saints of God. He's the image of the invisible God. I repeat, I've never seen him with a natural eye. I've seen pictures painted of him by the greatest artist that had ever lived. I've seen the picture painted of this man as he stood overlooking Jerusalem. The night that he said, oh, Jerusalem, my Jerusalem, how often I have gathered you under my wing as a hen gathereth her brood, but you would not. I've seen the picture painted of him when he stood and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. I've seen the picture painted of him as he stood saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. I've seen the picture painted of him as he knelt night in the Garden of Gethsemane, out there under that old olive tree, and the sweat drops that came down across his brow, a sweat as it were blood. And when he cried out, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I've seen the picture painted of him hanging out there on Golgotha's brow, the place of the skull, between two thieves, dying an ignominious death, with an unfinished crown of thorns on his brow, nails in his hands and feet, and a sword thrust into his side, and the blood dripping out of his veins to stain the rock-crested hill of Calvary. I've seen those pictures. Whether the artists have a proper conception of what he looks like, I don't know. But I read about a man one day that said he saw him. He said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me the voices of a trumpet. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God. He was clothed with a garment from his head down to his foot. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet as fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. He had in his right hand a sharp two-edged sword. And he said, "I'm that sharp two-edged sword." He said, "I saw him. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand on me and said, 'Fear not, John. I am he that liveth and was dead. But behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death.'" Listen, beloved, I repeat, I've never seen him, but I believe he's the image of God, the firstborn of every creature. One of these days, I expect to cross the boundary line of worlds and look into his face and behold him in all of his glory. Brother, sister, I made up my mind 29 years ago that I'm going to see him in all of his glory inside the city. Hallelujah to God. He's not only Creator God and the invisible God, but verse 14 says, if you notice, in whom we have redemption through his shed blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, let him come to the waters and drink. Yea, let him come by wine and milk without money and without price. Because he said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be red like or white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Then he says in 1 Peter, "And that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, there's a fountain that lies open in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. I'm so glad you can plunge in. You can have every sin washed away and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. I'm so glad I know him as my Redeemer this afternoon. And you know, beloved, the good part about it, it doesn't matter how deep dyed in sin you've gone, this blood can go deeper than the stain is gone. Some years ago, my wife said to me one afternoon, she said, "You know, I feel so sorry for my sister and her children." But she said, "There's no Christmas been arranged for them this year." I said, "You make find out for sure, and I'll see that the boys are not disappointed at Christmas." Christmas Day came. I stood there and saw two little broken-hearted boys and a mother, distraught, discouraged, around the Christmas tree. One of the little boys said, "Mommy, I wonder where Daddy is. He didn't come home last night." And I thought to myself, what a terrible way to spend Christmas. Wondering where Daddy is, wondering where the companion is. But beloved, hear me. Late Christmas Day, strange car pulled into the drive. I saw two men take her husband out of the car, lay him on a couch in a drunken stupor. And I heard her tell him, she said, "Bernie, if it's always going to be this way, I hope that when you sober up, you'll go so far away I'll never hear of you again. I can't take it any longer. He sobered up the first Sunday night in January. I was preaching 18 miles away. It was pouring rain. In the door of that church came my brother-in-law with another man. He came down and stood over to my right. I'd already begun my message, and I was preaching on the man who played the fool. I felt moved to the Spirit to speak to him. I went back where he stood, tall, 6'4" giant of a man, 260 pounds. I said, "Barney, I preached to you tonight." Tears came in his eyes. He said, "Do you think that Jesus Christ would have mercy on an old benighted sinner, an old wretch like I am?" I said, "If you'll give him a chance, his blood will wash away every one of your sins and change your heart and put your name down in heaven." He walked out of his seat and came around to that altar, and the folks came around. Beloved, he prayed through, wept his way to Calvary. My first meeting after Christmas was in the Pilgrim Church at Reidsville, North Carolina, and I came home one evening at the first part of the meeting, got out a little early, and I rushed home to be with my children before they went to bed. Now, the driveway was situated about half the distance between my house and his, and I pulled up the driveway, and the blinds and the drapers had not been pulled. And what I saw, I stopped my car halfway up the driveway. I sat there, tears rolled down across my face, and I rejoiced. But what I saw was not a drunken daddy, not a distraught companion, not two broken-hearted little boys, but beloved, there I saw that man and that woman, those two little fellows down on their knees around the family altar talking to Jesus. Beloved, I'll tell you, that's what the blood of Jesus can do for you. And he said, "Who hath redeemed us, in whom we have redemption through his shed blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And I'm glad this afternoon, beloved, that you can know what it is to be redeemed. You can know that beyond any doubt. Today in your soul, there's some things I don't know. There's some things that I used to know that I've forgotten. But this one thing I do know, that beloved, around the little old-fashioned homemade mourner's bench 29 years ago, the 18th of this month, the blood was applied to my soul, and he made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I became an heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and it's real today. I went over to Washington, D.C. some years ago with some friends of mine, and one morning we went out to Arlington National Cemetery, and they have an amphitheater out there where they have the president goes out on Memorial Day and gives an address and places a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier. And I walked into that amphitheater and walked over to where the large marble chair is, where the president sits in, and where he goes and has a seat before he brings his address. And I walked over and I sat down in that chair, and I looked out over those crosses that just fill Arlington Cemetery. And as I looked out across those white crosses, I kind of got blessed in my soul. I just began to do a little thinking and a little reminiscing and how wonderful it was to know God. And tears came, and a friend of mine, he said, "Preacher, are you sick?" I said, "No, I'm not sick." He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I'm blessed." He said, "What in the world is there out here in this silent city of the dead to get blessed over?" "Why," he said, "I don't see that." I said, "You see this chair I'm sitting in?" He said, "Sure, but what is there about an old cold marble chair that'd bless a fella?" I said, "They built this amphitheater at the end of World War No. 1. And I said, "Woodrow Wilson sat in this chair, and Calvin Coolidge sat in this chair, and Franklin D. or Herbert Hoover sat in this chair, and Franklin D. Roosevelt sat in this chair. And I said, Mr. Dwight Eisenhower sat in this chair, and Harry Truman sat in this chair." I said, "All the chief executives of our nation since World War No. 1 has occupied this chair." I said, "The thing that blesses me is the fact that I'm sitting here where the men of a high position, the elite characters of this nation, have sat." But I said, "This fades away into utter insignificance when I think of the place that I'm going to sit down with him over there in the glory when it's over in this life." He said, "How do you know? How do you know you're going to sit down over there?" I said, "He said, 'To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.'" And I'll tell you, beloved, you don't have that unless you know you've been redeemed, unless you've been to Calvary. You don't have that assurance. But I know it this afternoon. I'm sure of it today. It's something that's positive. It's something that's real. It's something that you can know about. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But he's not only beloved, the Creator God in the image of God and our Redeemer, but he's our Deliverer. Verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory be to God. Oh, beloved, somebody said, Mr. Loman, how can I be delivered? Bless your heart. If you've been to Calvary, if you've been redeemed, and you're still struggling with something inside the inner recesses of your soul, Paul gave it to us this way when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And ladies and gentlemen, when you've paid, put yourself at the disposal of God's will and driven the stake down and know every sin's covered, listen, beloved, every outward transgression's been forgiven and covered by the blood, and you make the consecration complete and put up the flag of unconditional surrender, ladies and gentlemen, you can rise, not after you've struggled through, but after you've surrendered every area of your life, every fiber of your being, all you know and all you don't know, and determined by the grace of God, you walk in the light. Ladies and gentlemen, you can testify to kin folks in a carnal world, and a world that's filled with sin, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do, in that it was weak, God sending his own Son, and in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And when that's done, ladies and gentlemen, do you know what Paul spoke about in the 6th chapter of Romans when he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead live any longer in sin? Having therefore been made free from sin, you became servants to God to have your fruit unto holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. Listen, I look across this afternoon to Bridgeport, Connecticut. I walk into the presence of a little lady that's never seen the light of day. She's never seen the golden hues of the midnight moon. She's never looked at the handiwork of God. And I say, Fanny Crosby, do you know him? Have you been redeemed? Have you been delivered from the condemnation of sin? And even though she can't see the light of day, she lifts her voice and sings, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Listen, folks, you don't have on this kind of a relationship just playing church and just filling a pew and just making a pretense. I'm so glad you can be delivered. It can be what it is. But you say, Mr. Loman, I have a lot of trouble. I have a lot of trouble. When things don't go just right, it seems that the devil tries my soul, and I have trouble with my temper, and I just can't seem to get straightened out, and I can't keep sweet under pressure, and when things, the pressures are surrounding me, I can't seem to hold steady. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not the only person that ever found yourself in that predicament. I suppose most of this congregation's been there, but I'm glad there's a place, beloved, in the will of God, where you can be delivered, where you can have complete, a full victory within your soul. You know, Uncle Bud Robinson, he had a lot of trouble getting delivered and getting straightened out. I'm so glad the Lord let me know, buddy, before he went to heaven. I'll tell you, beloved, I felt like I was in the presence of an angel when I stepped into his presence and had the privilege to talk to him. But Bud Robinson, he had trouble. One of the greatest wholeness preachers that lived in the yesteryears. And one day, buddy said he couldn't talk plain, you know. And he said, you know, I've a milking old Bothy one morning, and he said, Bothy, flipped her tail around and hit me in the face, and he said, I got the mad. I turned the milk pail over, grabbed a pitchfork and hit Bothy over the head. Said, I like to kill the old cow. And he said, I knew that is wrong. He said, I'll plow on the old mule one day. And he said, that mule wouldn't stay out of the cornrow. And he said, I got the mad. I took that mule loose and I took the single tree. Hit the mule over the head. Said, I like to kill the old mule. He said, I knew that is wrong. And I got on my face before God and said, Lord, you're going to have to help Buddy. There's something wrong inside of Buddy, and you're going to have to help me. He said, you just got to give me something that'll hold me steady when the pressure's on. And he said, Lord, please do something for Buddy. And one day he wasn't feeling too good, and he went to the doctor, and he said, Doc, he said, I'm Bud Robinson. I live over here in the country. He said, there's something wrong with me. I want you to examine me and see what it is. And the doctor examined him, and he said, Mr. Robinson, he said, you've got sugar diabetes. He said, what's that? He said, I don't understand these medical terms. Break it up so I can understand it. Well, he says, that means you've got an excessive amount of sugar in your bloodstream. He said, glory to God. And the doctor said, Mr. Robinson, he said, what do you mean shouting over the fact that you've got sugar diabetes? He said, it this way, Doc. He said, I've been a praying a long time. The Lord had given me something to keep me sweet. Now he's overdone it and put sugar in my blood. Glory to God. You have something in your soul that'll keep you sweet. It'll hold you steady. I'm convinced this afternoon, beloved, when you know this man who's Creator God and the image of God and our Redeemer and our Deliverer, you can live right down here in the face of everything the devil throws across your pathway. And you can lift your eyes like a flint toward the city of God and sing, I'd rather walk with Jesus alone and have for my pillow like Jacob a stone, living each moment with his face in view, than to shrink from my pathway and fail to go through.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.